So PJ Fleck is now middle of the pack, Big Ten money, 7th out of 14 teams. And he gets a $1.1 million raise from his original contract. It's all well and good. We're all trying to figure out, do we know if the Gophers are any good yet? Yeah, they're 8-0 for the first time in 78 years. But Penn State will help us determine if the Gophers are a top 20 outfit or not. But they've already decided they're in love with him. They want to stay in love with him for a while. And we'll get back into this in about 15 minutes. You can respond to how you feel on Twitter at KWSN Sports. John Gask is with Craig Maddock from the Midco Sportsnet studio in downtown Sioux Falls, where we open up a wound for Vikings fans right now.
Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. And the kick is good. He got it. Butker got it. And the Chiefs have won the game in regulation. Harrison Butker, game winner.
Mitch Holthus, Chiefs Radio Network. 26-23. So Kansas City now 6-3. So are the Vikings. Ton of Vikings fans yesterday. And what do we do on a Vikings-centric show, Craig, here on the Vikings Radio Network? We hem, we haw, we bitch, we moan. What happened? Nitpick. Why'd they lose? We nitpick. Yep. And there was plenty of blame to go around. Defense, Kirk Cousins, of course, offensive play calling. But you know what? As a person myself who grew up a Kansas City Chiefs fan, pretty thrilled with that victory. And I'm guessing so is this guy on the Tires fan line. He played for the Chiefs for several years, two-time Pro Bowler, played 1 year with the Green Bay Packers, and now Chiefs analyst for both TV and radio in Kansas City, Bill Moss, joining us here on Craig and John. Yeah, I mean, it just kind of feels like the Chiefs playing with house money without Patrick Mahomes. How impressed were you by that victory on Sunday, Bill?
Well, I thought it was a team effort. You know, I think this team in the last year and a half has really relied on Patrick Mahomes. And you can get lazy when you got a guy that's good playing quarterback. And I think they really just battled through. They had a tough one, played the Green Bay Packers tough, but ended up coming out shy there. And then they just took another step and they grew. The defense played better than it's played all year long. Holding Dalvin Cook to next to nothing, and Stephon Diggs, one catch, 4 yards. I mean, that's impressive. It's the best they've done this year, and it paid off for them. They stacked the box. They had 8 or 9 people in the box every play, and they brought pressure. And Kirk Cousins, when people are in his face, he doesn't perform well.
No, he doesn't. And look, we could get to Mahomes anytime, and we will, but Bill Moss, as we mentioned, it was a defensive lineman for the Chiefs from 1984 to 92, two-time Pro Bowler, the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1984. So when you're looking at this from a defensive eye, of course, Vikings fans are going, why didn't they get the ball to Dalvin Cook enough, especially early, and how couldn't they find and get the ball to Stephon Diggs? We understand Adam Thielen was out. But from your defensive eye, what were the Chiefs doing to, you mentioned stacking the box, but what else was that defense doing well that they haven't necessarily done well this year? And how?
Yeah, and they had two starters out, too, in Alex Okafor and Frank Clark. So they did get Chris Jones back, and he played well. I mean, he kind of really dominated the middle of that defense. He forced big plays. He was in the backfield disrupting on the rundowns. He was disrupting on the passing downs. They got to Kirk Cousins. They were hitting him and rattling him. That's something that, you know, that's not typical of the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they're the ones usually bringing the lumber to the opponents. They just, you know, the Chiefs just stepped up this week and just played better than they actually are, given all the injuries with 7 starters out.
In the AFC, who are the top 5? I mean, we know New England and Baltimore and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. If you're going to rank top three, who would be the top three in order?
Those, you know, it's right there. Yeah, if we beat Baltimore and, you know, Baltimore beats New England and we lost to Houston, and you got to throw Houston in the mix too with Deshaun Watson, the way he plays. I mean, you have to consider them a good candidate for some place in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs at the end of the year. It's one of those things. Everybody can knock everybody off, but who's going to be left standing at the end of January?
Well, it's the one who wants to be home for the playoffs. And right now it seems it's between Baltimore and New England.
Chiefs have the same record as the Ravens.
And can Kansas City eventually stay
at
home?
Yeah, well, we have the same record as the Ravens, and we won the head-to-head. And, you know, if somebody knocks off New England again, Kansas City's going to New England to play. So they could all have the same record. It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But, you know, you can't discount some other teams. You know, teams go on a run usually in the middle of November to the end of November, and they just get hot. And, you know, there's some teams out there that just might put a big push together. The Oakland Raiders are playing great football, you know. And with all the turmoil that's around them, and all the things that happened through training camp and the players and losing Bursak, and you know, you would think that it would just fall apart. But John Gruden's keeping them together, and the quarterback Carr is having one of the best years he's ever had.
Bill Moss joining us, former Kansas City Chiefs defensive tackle for 9 years, finished his career in Green Bay, now a TV analyst and a radio analyst for the Chiefs in Kansas City. He's joining us here on Craig and John, 98.1 FM, 1230 AM and KWSN.com. The Chiefs will get to find out how they stack up against the Patriots the same way they got to do in Foxborough during the regular season last year when Mahomes and Brady got into a 43-40 shootout. And so that game is coming Sunday, December 8th, and Mahomes perceivably will be back, if not healthy by then. But again, if we want to look long-term at what the Chiefs have last year, they were able to get the Patriots in Arrowhead for the AFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl, and they were basically a D-Ford offsides penalty from having done so. This year, if they have to go on the road because of these couple of losses, Colts, Texans, Packers, with Patrick Mahomes healthy in the playoffs, considering the side of the ball you played, the defense, is this a team that can travel anywhere and win in the playoffs? I mean, what kind of confidence do you have there?
Yeah, I do. And if you, I mean, look, we're talking about, you know, January, and it's still here, the first week of November. The landscape can change drastically, as we know. Injuries pop up. You know, anything could happen. You could lose key players all around the board. But as we look at it today, right now, and if everything stays the same, we're going to get six healthy guys back here very soon. Starters that need to be out there that are good players. And, of course, the biggest one is the quarterback. I mean, the guy, if he's at 100% healthy, there's nothing he can't do on the football field. I think we've all seen that. So, and if you look at the numbers this year with the visiting team winning more percentage than the home teams, I think that tells you something about the NFL, that this brand of football, given all the new rules and the way they do things, the way they change things, that anybody can win anywhere. I mean, we always used to say that, you know, anybody can win on any given Sunday. But literally now, anybody can win anywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. I think the home field advantage thing is really shot.
What's the biggest Achilles heel for the Kansas City Chiefs? What could do them in?
I think, in my personal opinion, I think if they, you know, let Patrick Mahomes rush back. I mean, yeah, you see him running around. You see him jumping around. Look, I've had those injuries. I know all about the knees and the ankles and all those things. And, yeah, you can do all those things. But it hurts. And you're not 100%. And if, especially with the way the shape of the offensive line is right now, you know, they're not built to protect. There's just not. And the quarterbacks are getting hit. Matt Moore played one heck of a game, and he got lit up in the face of pressure. But he just hung in there. It was really a tough showing. I wouldn't rush him back for this Tennessee game. I'd keep him out. Then you hit the bye week and then get on a run coming back with a healthy 100% healthy Patrick Mahomes. If anything would happen to him, that would do it.
No doubt about it. The Titans come in at 4-5. It's a team that's obviously beatable on the road for the Chiefs with Matt Moore. What did you see Andy Reid do with Matt Moore, and Matt Moore do on his own with the ability to get the Chiefs down the field? Last couple games, not just the Minnesota win, but the Green Bay loss, and how sustainable is all of that for the duration of Patrick Mahomes' absence?
Well, they kept a lot of people in to help in protection. You know, you saw a lot of two tight end sets with Blake Bell and Kelce staying in the block, backs chipping and things of that nature to give him time. They also moved him around a little bit. They got him out of the pocket. They got him moving. They got some guys that, you know, that you can't be scared to throw when it's man-to-man coverage. And here's a guy that was teaching school and coaching in August. when the injury occurred to Henny at the training camp. And they call him and talk him out into coming back out and joining the team. He's out of football for over a year. And for him to be able to grasp this offense and to throw the ball like he's thrown the ball and to be thrown into the mix in the middle of a Denver game, I just think I can't say enough about the kid. That's really impressive.
Yeah. And Andy Reid, what kind of, from a defensive schemer's eyes, have you seen Andy Reid do to adjust from calling plays for Patrick Mahomes to calling plays for Matt Moore?
Well, I mean, there are two different things. You know, Matt, he knows that you're going to keep some things basic, but then Patrick will take the basic and then add something else onto it if and when it breaks down. Matt Moore, you just have to give him more protection. I think they did that with all the shifting and motion and getting the guys in tight around him and keeping the extra bodies in there to give him a pocket. I think that was the big thing. And then, you know, they just ran their routes. You know, you saw what Sammy Watkins was doing. You saw what Tyreek Hill was doing and Travis Kelce. And if you're going to get those guys matched up man-to-man, you just throw the ball. They'll go get it.
Bill Moss, a couple more moments with the former Chiefs Pro Bowler. It's Craig and John here on KWSN in Sioux Falls. He's an analyst, 610 Sports in Kansas City, also local TV there. And back to the Patriots, and that is, I know they're 8-1, but do they look more or less dangerous than they did last year? Brady, the whole package.
You know, that's interesting. You know, everyone picks them apart about the schedule they're playing. I heard one analyst say that they had 12 preseason games. and they just started their season last week against Baltimore. I think they're a good team no matter what. You know, they've got the same MO as they've had. They find the players they need to play the positions the way the head coach wants that position played. And that's been their secret. The head coach understands what he wants at each and every position. And he goes finds the person that can handle doing that. Not the person that's rated the best coming out of the combine or can do this or can do that or broad jump. No, he has a specific person in mind to do a job at right defensive end, at nose tackle, at left defensive end, at outside linebacker, inside linebacker, strong safety, corners, free safety. He can see those guys, and he studies these films on them, and he finds the ones that get cut or hit the waiver wires, or he trades for them. But he finds those guys that have the ability to perform and do what he wants them to do. That's been their whole secret.
Yep.
And that's why they've been so successful year in and year out, because there's one guy that knows exactly what he needs offensively and defensively, and he goes out and finds him.
Yep. The bigger scale, having seen the Vikings, we're curious here in Vikings territory, do they look like a Super Bowl contending team or just a nice football team? What were your impressions?
You know, I said it, I guess it was Sunday night. I mean, we could see them again in the Super Bowl. You look at the NFC, Green Bay, Minnesota, they're right up there, Seattle. I mean, they're good football teams. And there's no question about it. Yeah. They've got a defense that is stellar. They've got an offense that, you know, they can pound the ball at you. They've got great wide receivers. Kirk Cousins is making plays and doing things, you know, above what he's normally been capable of doing because of all the talent around him.
This is a good
football team. There's no question.
How intimidating of a quarterback would Kirk Cousins be to prepare for and face, thinking back to your playing days?
How hard would he be to prepare for?
Yeah, and also is he a guy that you would watch film and go, oh, I can't wait to eat that for lunch, based on what he does when he gets the ball?
The most important thing is, you know, right where he's at right now, in my mind, he's a product of the system. He's a system quarterback. I mean, if you run the ball as good as you should, Minnesota's number one in the league in rushing the football.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, a quarterback's job becomes really easy. And when you do play action, it's hard for defensive linemen to understand the look of what you're going to get. You know, the same splits, the same motions, and the run play all looks the same, but it's not. And you're playing the run. Well, playing the run and hunkering down and leaning into an offensive lineman is a lot different than putting your butt up in the air and getting ready to run a 40-yard sprint at the quarterback. And so therein lies the difference. So when he has the play action going, he's got a lot of time, and he's got great receivers.
Yep.
And Irv Smith Jr., I mean, that kid's going to be a big-time asset as it goes further down the season, Rudolph's great at the blocking aspect of it and the catching side of it. Diggs and Thielen are just, you know, phenomenal players. They're very, very talented at all the positions, especially positions, just like the Chiefs are.
Yeah. Hey, last one for you. Big NFL question with the Chargers owner has come out and said the reports from earlier today that there's talks of moving the team to London because it's not working out in L.A. are false. But there does seem to be a trend toward London, obviously, the last several years with more games being played there. What would be your opinion on the league having a full-time team in London?
Yeah, well, obviously it would be great for the league. I mean, they've been trying that for years to try to see what the market is overseas. I mean, NFL Europe, I was over there broadcasting. I had so much fun with all the teams over there that they had for, you know, 10 years. They sunk money into it trying to plant the seeds, and it was going really well, and it was a good farm system for the NFL. But to have a team over there full-time, I think it would be great for London. I think London would get behind it. But, as far as traveling, playing week in and week out, and bringing somebody over there, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I look at it like Hawaii in college football. I mean, teams have to go there. It's a great advantage for the home team. It's a severe disadvantage when they have to travel. I don't know how much that means it evens out, but it doesn't sound like the craziest thing in the world.
No, I'd hate to be going from Seattle to there.
Yeah, no kidding. Bill, really appreciate your time. It was fun watching you growing up a Chiefs fan, and pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
There he goes, Bill Maas, at Bill, M-A-A-S, former defensive tackle, first round, fifth overall pick, 1984, out of the University of Pittsburgh to the Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Talk with Craig and John. Matt Zimmer of the Argus, his weekly hit. We'll talk a lot of Jacks. They're obviously in an interesting spot. They still look pretty damn good. They have two huge home games against top 12 ranked teams. But also, as a I'd call Zimmer a mild Gopher fan, kind of like you, Craig. You just don't meet too many hardcore Gopher fans, even in Minnesota. You know, they can't sell out maybe the smallest stadium in the Big Ten. But a lot of mild Gopher fans who now their attention has been captured by both what the team is doing and by the PJ Fleck long-term deal. So we'll get another mild Gopher fan's point of view on what is a big day up there in Minneapolis. It's Craig and John on 98.1 FM, 1230 AM and KWSN.com.
Can't hear the show on the radio? No problem. We're always live at KWSN.com and on the free, easy-to-download KWSN mobile app.